Hello, it's Father John again, trying to catch up again. I've been having a lot of temptations, but thank God. Glory be to God for all things. Most of our questions have been coming in about Romans, so I want to concentrate on that, on Romans, the reading from yesterday and the reading from today, which I'll actually do in two separate recordings. So let's deal with the reading from yesterday on Romans first, which was Romans 9, 18 through 33. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brethren, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. Thou wouldst say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, of the same lump, to make one vessel unto honor, and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to shew his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? The Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. All right, so we had a question come in regarding verses 21 and 22. So let's read those again, and then I'll say the question. The verses read as follows. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? All right, so there's always this question of predestination, and this harkens back to Romans 8, 29 through 30. And in relation to that, let me quote from Father Seraphim Rose, who wrote as follows. The Orthodox concept of predestination is found in the teaching of St. Paul. So to be clear, Father Seraphim is not defending the Calvinist heresy of predestination, but the Orthodox understanding of the word predestination as used here in Romans. So, there, Saint Paul writes, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestined, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Romans 8:29-30. So Father Seraphim goes on. Here Saint Paul speaks of those foreknown and foreordained, or predestined, by God or eternal glory, it being understood in the whole context of Christian teaching that this predestination involves also the free choice of the one being saved. Here again we see the mystery of synergy, the cooperation of God and man. St. John Chrysostom writes in his commentary on this passage, that is the 15th homily on Romans, quote, "The apostle here speaks of foreknowledge, in order that not everything should be ascribed to the calling. For if the calling alone was sufficient, then why have not all been saved? Therefore he says that the salvation of the called is accomplished not by the calling alone, but also by foreknowledge, and the calling itself is not compulsory or forcible. Thus all were called, but not all obeyed. And that's where St. John Chrysostom ends. Then Father Seraphim goes on, and Bishop Theophon the Recluse, whom he calls bishop because he hadn't been canonized yet, glorified yet, explains yet further, quote from St. Theophon, concerning free creatures, God's predestination does not obstruct their freedom and does not make them involuntary executors of his decrees. Free actions God foresees as free. He sees the whole course of a free person and the general sum of all his actions. And seeing this, he decrees as if it had already been accomplished. It is not that the actions of free persons are the consequence of predestination, but that predestination itself is the consequence of free deeds. That's from St. Theophon's commentary on Romans, and Father Seraphim was quoting from the edition of that in Russian. I don't believe that's in English. All right, so what we have then is that we have free will, but God, of course, being outside of time, foreknows everything that we're going to do. And this we see this in the communion prayers. It says, in thy book, all our thoughts and actions are ascribed already, right? Lo, the greatness of my toil. Lo, the greatness of my suffering, right? And yet we still strive to do the will of God, because what God foreknows, as St. Theophon makes clear here, is what we will choose. So he foreordains that. But he doesn't predestine it in the sense that he's forcing us to anything. And here, St. Faustus of Riez, whom Father Seraphim later quotes in the same set of passages, St. Faustus of Riez, a French saint, says in his treatise on grace, the grace of God and free will, he says, free will is, as it were, a small hook by which grace enters in. Why? Because God made us, created us in his image. That is, that we have free will. And so we can literally choose to reject him or not. Now, of course, God could force us, but he doesn't choose to force us because he wishes to make us sons of God by adoption. Now come back to the phrase about the potter and the clay in Romans, from today's reading, from Romans 9, 18 through 33. So we're at verse 21. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Now think about this for a second. The potter forms the clay. But a potter wouldn't make a pot out of a banana. He still needs something to make into a pot that's clay or clay-like. And so in order to make us sons of God, again, God could force us, but to truly be sons of God, our will has to cooperate with his, so that by means of such a cooperation, grace enters in and we become sanctified, we become saved. And so the potter forms us by means of faith, by means of our choosing, as feebly as we may choose nonetheless, but our choosing to turn to God continually with all of our heart throughout our lives and allowing him to form us as newly made creatures, newly made men in Christ. This is the fulfillment of everything we're called to in our baptism. Right? We go down into the waters, the old man is to die in the waters, and we become new, we arise new men in Christ. So with that, that's for yet to catch up for yesterday, and along with this, you should see the next part, which deals with today's reading from Romans. I'll be back in just a moment. God bless you.